Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Aaron provide helpful tips on how to get ready. Ready or not, here comes Ready Radio.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to the new Ready Radio. This week, we are at a brand new time on our flagship station, News Talk 1160, the talk of the town, and we are introducing a new format. We're introducing a new guest, a new co-host from our guest host from the last couple weeks. Aaron is joining me full-time from this point out, and we're coming across to you this morning, this beautiful Saturday morning, a new time slot, bright and early, rather than our old afternoon time slot. Hopefully, you're enjoying either a relaxing morning in, or maybe an exciting morning out, getting something done, getting something a little more prepared in your world, maybe having breakfast with your family and children. But whatever you're doing on this beautiful Saturday, we're grateful that you chose to join us and get a little more information about your world. As we look at the week that's coming up, we're going to be talking about a variety of topics with this show. We have in the past been talking about things that help you be more prepared. Our focus in Ready Radio is to have you be a little bit more informed about the world you're living in, better ways to be prepared, more things that you can do to be self-sufficient, take a Jeffersonian perspective on life, and to be a more engaged person. And I know that Aaron is very excited about this week's topic. We're going to be discussing a little bit about allergies and how allergies impact a person's well-being and how allergies are something that you can be more prepared for in the future, particularly if there was a state of emergency or if you had a natural disaster. Allergies don't really take a vacation. So, you know, if we had a tornado season is winding down here in Georgia at this point, but if we had a tornado during allergy season, if we had a hurricane hit the coast right now, you know, that might flare up other people's allergies and have problems in that way, and you might not have ready access to all the drugs you normally have available. We also want to talk a little bit about how allergies affect a person, about remedies that you can have and other things that you can do, not just medicines, but herbal remedies that you can take and enjoy to be able to combat allergic reactions. As we look at this week's topic, I mean, it's something that's very poignant for all of us. I mean, not all of us suffer from allergies, right? Right, Aaron?
I do.
You do.
Lots of allergies.
And they kind of sneak up on you, I know.
No, not really sneak up. I kind of expect them, but sometimes they're a little quicker to come around than others. You never know when it's going to hit.
And we're talking about, you know, more of the typical allergic reactions right now in things like ragweed or pollen. I know in the springtime here in Georgia that we have Georgia flurries of giant yellow clouds that descend on the cars and kids can make, you know, pollen angels in the grass.
Pollen angels? I'm going to have an explanation of this. I just moved here.
You ever seen a snow angel?
Yes.
Well, you can do that in the pollen in Georgia in the springtime.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting when you get going to it. You know, little kids run out, Mom, it pollened. And next thing you know, they're making pollen angels.
I can just see the moms running around with the EpiPen.
Well, that's a good point. A lot of our listeners may not know what an EpiPen is unless they've had severe allergic reactions or anaphylaxis in the past. So, I mean, we crack a joke, but what is an EpiPen?
It's a emergency shot of epinephrine that you use in case of a severe allergic reaction, anaphylaxis.
And this is something that we're going to develop throughout our show today, talking about different types of allergic reactions and ways that we prepare. And, of course, anaphylaxis is the most dangerous and most sudden onset type of allergic reaction, but even, you know, our simple watery eyes and runny nose that we take our Claritin for is another type of allergic reaction that has an impact on us. And we live in a wonderful society today where all of these different medicines, all these different drugs are available readily. You can go into Walmart and there's a giant counter full of different things that you can take for your allergies. And not only do they have all the name brands, but they have all the generics right next to it. So instead of, you know, with your Afrin nasal spray, you can spend $5 for the real stuff, or you can get the Equate version for $1.50. And either way, you're getting, you know, quality medicine that you can take and that will alleviate your symptoms and make your day a little bit better. But one of the themes of this show, and one of the themes that has always been a part of this show, even back to our old days before the new time slot and before you joined us, Aaron, was the idea that we need to be prepared for all eventualities. And there may come a time when we don't have the ability to just run over to Walmart and be able to pick up whatever, you know, over-the-counter medicine we might need, whether it be, you know, Sudafed or a nasal spray or an antihistamine.
So I say, stock up now, know what helps you and stock up.
And that's really important. It's really a big deal to be able to have on hand the different drugs you need. But there may even come a time further down the road. I mean, some of the things that we've talked about in the past were things like an EMP, either attack or a solar flare, which could knock out our power grid for a decade or more. And if we don't have any pharmaceutical companies producing new medicines for a decade, we're going to run out really fast, even in the stockpiles. I don't know anyone who, you know, can economically or even storage-wise put up 20 years worth of antihistamines on a basis. I mean, it's just not really feasible to be able to keep drugs that long, and the shelf life isn't even that long. So you're going to run into problems trying to stockpile, which leads us to herbal remedies and other things that you can do to be better prepared, even in the eventuality that you don't have all of these drugs available for you at Walmart or Walgreens or wherever you end up going.
You always have to fall back on that tea that's sweetened with honey and has a little lemon in it. I mean, there's so many natural ways to at least get some relief. It may not be a cure.
And that's one of the ideas, is that there's two ways to deal with any sort of a medical problem. First is that you treat the symptoms, and the other way is you treat the disease. And if you can treat the disease, if you can actually cure, you're far better off. But a lot of the things that we do in medicine really doesn't have anything to do with treating the disease. It's about making the person more comfortable and giving their own body time to heal and adjust and conquer it on its own.
And there is no cure for allergies. When a person is allergic to a certain item, there's no cure for it. I mean, occasionally you have children with allergies as kids and they grow up to be adults that do not have those same allergies. But a lot of the times there's allergies that last you well into your adult life and there's no cure for it. It's there forever. So there's no point in trying to find a cure for something there's no cure for, but treating it while you have it and making yourself more comfortable during the process is the main goal.
And, you know, to steal a military term, to remain combat effective. And that's really a lot of what we're going for with all of this, is we're trying to get to a point where we can still get through our day the way we need to, you know. And right now, your day may be, well, I've got a big presentation, or I've got to get to work and do something at work, or I've got
to do a radio show.
In the midst of the, you know, the allergy epidemic.
Ragweed nightmare I call Georgia.
Exactly. So, you know, there are things that we have to do throughout our day, and so we're just trying to treat the illness enough so that we're functional and we can get out there and do what we have to do. But then there are some things that, you know, we need to treat the cause. And with allergies, that's a trickier prospect, because you've got to get away from the things that are causing your allergies.
So with the seasonal allergies, I guess I could move to the Arctic.
Which was a wonderful solution for me. I loved...
It would not be for me. If I get too cold, I'm not happy.
Well, you know, there are ways around...
But you don't get too cold, do you?
No, I tend not to get too cold. But there are ways around getting too cold. I mean, you can always put on an extra sweater or parka or, you know, Canada Goose expedition jacket with the fur ruff around the head.
Or wear a bear burrito all the time.
Yeah.
The sleeping bags.
Just the trick is, if you're going to be wearing anything bear on your head, don't go outside during bear season because you'll get shot, and don't go outside when the bears are feeling frisky or you might get ate. Anyway.
I wasn't talking about that. I'm talking about the sleeping bags where you cocoon inside of them.
Oh, the mummy style?
Yeah, I've always thought that was like a bear burrito. It's like
snack time.
You can't even fight back. You're just already wrapped for him. All he has to do is pick you up and carry you off.
Well, there's really, against the bears in Western Alaska, there really isn't any fighting back anyway. You just kind of say, yes, sir, may I have another, and let it go. Did I ever tell you about the father and son that were hunting on Kodiak Island during the spring bear season?
Mm-hmm.
When I first moved up to Alaska, I read this story, and it just, you know, talking about preparedness and being ready for anything, right? That's one of the themes of this show. This father and son had gone out on Kodiak Island to hunt one of the massive grizzly bears that are there. And Kodiak is known for having the biggest bears, even though Togiak over by Dillingham actually has larger bears. Anyway, so they're out hunting in the snow, and they shoot this massive bear. air, and it drops over dead from the shot, and they're walking across the tundra, basically, to get to where the bear had fallen. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this sow jumps out of a den that they didn't even know was there and attacks the father and bites his head and rips his scalp off of his skull.
So the bear literally scalped him.
Yeah. I mean, and then the son took a shot at the bear, and it took off running, and it was gone. And his father was laying there bleeding with his scalp torn off. And they looked at each other, and the son helped pull his dad's head back together. This probably isn't the best breakfast story for a Saturday morning, but they helped him pull his head back together. And then before they went to get medical attention, they continued on to the bear that they had shot, field dressed it, and took it back with them to the ranger station.
Really?
Yeah.
That's tough.
That is tough. Now, that is being, no matter what happens, they were ready for it. They had a medical kit, they got themselves pulled together, and they went and took care of business before going on to their day. And now we sit here and say, my goodness, I have allergies. What am I going to do? And you realize, you could have had your head ripped off by a bear, and maybe that would be preferable to allergies. I don't know, because I don't suffer from them. I'm one of the few, well, actually, more Americans don't suffer from allergies than do. Isn't that right?
Yeah, well, no. It's like 20% of Americans suffer from seasonal allergies, 20%. So you got like 80% that don't.
Well, there we go. So most Americans don't suffer from seasonal allergies, but it's a multi-million-dollar industry because it's so debilitating for those who do. Folks, we're coming up on our first commercial break. Stick with us. We're going to talk about more ways that you can be better prepared for allergy season and ways that you can stay safe coming up on our next segment on the new Ready Radio right here on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. We're talking a little bit about allergies this week and things that you can do to be better prepared. And this is something that affects about a third of all Americans. And as we look at the problems that we have in allergies and ways to fix it, the first place that most people go is the medicine counter.
Well, of course we go to the medicine counter, and that's where we've been raised to go, right? You want to get your hands on that Robitussin, that NyQuil, and those aren't always the best things for you, even though, man, they provide relief for a little while.
And they're a good solution in a lot of ways. I mean, having the ability to get a good medicine that will alleviate the symptoms, it stops the histamines, it gets you kind of flow in there, gets you back into your day, that's a fantastic solution in the short term. But as we were talking before the break, there may come a point where these options aren't available to you, or they may not work. And as you take over-the-counter medications, they get less and less effective over time. And you hear a lot of people, we were talking to our producer before we started this show, And Aaron, you said, I take Claritin and that really helps. He said, oh, Claritin, it doesn't do anything for me. And that's true. Is she may have either have had a lot more of exposure to Claritin, took it for a while and its effectiveness wore off, or may have never been effective in the first place. And that's the problem with a lot of pharmaceuticals, is that what works great for one person may have absolutely no effect on another person whatsoever.
It's true. I've always been one to take the Claritin. The Claritin works wonderful for me, but I know other people that doesn't even touch their allergies and their Zyrtec. They recommend Zyrtec. A lot of people take Benadryl. I can't handle the Benadryl because it knocks me out unconscious for I'm down for the count if I take Benadryl.
And that's true for a lot of people. A lot of people who take Benadryl and as an antihistamine, it's very drowsy. And so a lot of the newer ones, which may be less effective than the Benadryl, say non-drowsy as they're trying to make it so that you can function throughout your day. And of course, what's the good of breathing if you sleep right through it and don't realize you were able to?
The sleep aid in Tylenol PM is actually Benadryl.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah. They don't even tell you. But if you compare the active ingredients.
So, what about NyQuil? Do you know how NyQuil? Because I know.
Same thing.
Same thing?
Mm-hmm. And they have ZQuil.
Yes.
Have you seen that? It's just the sleep aid. It's the same thing as in Benadryl. So, basically, you're taking an antihistamine to knock yourself out. There's also other drugs that double as an antihistamine. One of the acid blockers, I can't remember if
Pepcid.
It's Pepcid. It is Pepcid, isn't it? Pepcid doubles as an antihistamine. You can take Pepcid in a pinch if you don't have any other antihistamine available.
And people who are allergic to, like cortisones or hydrocortisone would take Pepcid, even in the emergency room, that's offered for them to reduce swelling or to decrease inflammation.
I learned this from my chicory reaction. I have a lot of allergies, guys.
And so, you know, there's a variety of over-the-counter medications, even things that you wouldn't think of, that have the ability to decrease an allergic reaction. And this is important not just for, like, seasonal allergies, but when we start to talk in the next segment about things like anaphylaxis, these are also things that, you know, can play into that and help give you a better reaction or slow down the reaction that's happening to you. So, you know, there's a variety of over-the-counter medicines that we can take that will help us to feel better, but there's other herbal remedies which will also help us feel better, that will relieve some of these symptoms and help us get through the day. And the beauty of the herbal remedies is, A, they're usually cheaper than over-the-counters, although some of the generics now are getting downright dirt cheap in prescription medications. They are homeopathic and all natural, so you don't have to worry about what, you know, different chemicals you're pumping into your body. And often they're food-based, which means that you can incorporate them into your daily lives very easily.
It's like the spearmint tea. I've dehydrated some spearmint tea leaves recently. I started off with fresh spearmint and just dried them down. But
How did you dehydrate them?
I put it in the dehydrator.
The Excalibur, like the 3900, yeah. Isn't that available from our sponsors?
It is, True Prep.
That's right.
They have that. It's an awesome dehydrator. Anyway, I put the spearmint leaves into the dehydrator and allow them to dry down. And then you just take a tea bag and you put some spearmint leaves, not a tea bag, a coffee filter. And you put the tea leaves in the middle and draw it up and tie a string around so they don't come out. And you boil water poured in your coffee mug and steep those tea leaves in there, and then you end up with mint tea, and you can sweeten it with honey, preferably local honey.
And now with the dried tea leaves at this point, are they easier to steep because they're dried, or, I mean, could you use fresh leaves?
You
as
wouldn't
well?
Want to use fresh leaves. It would be pretty nasty.
What's the difference?
You end up getting, like, greens. If you cook, you know how greens cook down and...
Like kale and
yeah,
turnip greens and collards?
Like salami. You wouldn't want to try to fish that out of your tea. The dry leaves just work better. It's how they've always done tea. You're such a rebel. You've just got to try everything the opposite direction, don't you?
So you can make a dried tea out of spearmint or peppermint, or there's a variety of herbs that grow right here in Georgia, which would make wonderful teas.
Mm-hmm. Chamomile. I've done mint and chamomile together before. It's very soothing, and it gives you that lulled off to sleep feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Also valerian, which you can find valerian sometimes just growing in the woods. It's good to find books about wild crafting to be able to recognize these plants and to use them. It's a little bit of foraging involved if you would, in the end of the world situation here, if you were looking for what you needed to treat your allergies, you would have to do a little bit of foraging to find it.
And that's a useful skill or talent to cultivate now while, you know, the pressure isn't on, you might say. And there are a variety of great books out there on how to forage and how to find the different foods and herbs that you need. And I know that True Prep has a variety of books in their library that are available that you can peruse in the store, you know, purchase and take home with you. And these are fantastic options for people who want to learn how to identify what plants are, you know, edible. But, you know, the beginning steps of this, and what I would encourage people to do before you start foraging out in the woods or in your backyard, is to go forage at your local farmer's market.
Uh-huh.
And we have a variety here in Atlanta or wherever you're listening from. And I know that, you know, we kind of tailor to an Atlantan audience right now because of our flagship station on here on 1160. But we're being picked up by stations all over North Georgia and really around the world because of our internet broadcasts and our podcasts. And I know that a lot of listeners listen not only here in our local broadcast region, but also listen online either through iTunes or at www.readyradio.net, where you can listen to not only this show, but all our old broadcasts, which are, you know, available for download or for streaming. And so wherever you are, if you're able to listen into us, you can find a local farmer's market that has, you know, good produce that's available and things that you can learn to identify with it it, you know, laid out for you with a little sign on top that says, you know, this is spearmint or this is thyme or dill or whatever it is, and pick it up and smell it and get used to it. And then when you're out, you know, backpacking with your kids or you're, you know, doing a trip through the wilderness for some reason, you'll look down, you'll say, oh, look, you know, there's some wild leeks growing or there's some wild onions growing. I remember seeing those. And yeah, they smell the same. And I can identify them that way a lot easier than what I can learn from a book.
It's helpful to be able to go to the farmer's market and to put your hands on some herbs that you wouldn't see or some plants that you wouldn't see normally in your yard to identify them. The spearmint grows wild in the mountains, but I bought it at the local farmer's market here.
And, you know, your local farmer's market is a wealth not only of good resources to eat, but also of information. And the people who grow all of this are able to come and tell us, you know, tips on how to grow it or things that are going on. And I would also encourage all of our listeners to find and join a local co-op. And I know that that's something that you were telling me recently, Aaron, that you joined a co-op right here in North Georgia, where they gave you a discount and they have a wide variety of not just, you know, plants and food, but also things like essential oils and stuff for soap making and other projects.
Yes, Life Foods, it's in Marietta.
And they have also a wide variety of things like essential oils, which are really an interesting topic. I think, I know we're getting a little bit off from the, you know, core of allergies.
Not really. I mean, these are the things that you use to treat allergies. And if you go to the co-op or your local farmer's market and you pick up these things and try them out and see how they work on your allergies. You know, your local honey, your mint tea, your essential oils you could use for aromatherapy purposes. But also if you buy, you know, menthol essential oil and mint essential oil.
Or tea tree.
Tea tree, you could use it as well, but you use these things to treat certain things. Tea tree oil is actually good for dandruff, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, dandruff and fungal infections, yeast infections. A lady I knew had been going through chemotherapy on her and radiation on her mouth, and she got thrush, which is a yeast infection of the tongue. It's a fungal infection. And you can actually use tea tree oil to treat that and get rid of it. It's amazing.
It's really fascinating the way that, you know, this is something that goes beyond just, you know, the scents that make you feel more comfortable. It actually has antibacterial properties. It has antifungal properties. These are really amazing things. And essential oils was something that I think is a really burgeoning market, because there's a lot of interest here. There's a lot of things that it can do. It's very natural. It's homeopathic. And it's exciting. I mean, it's really something exciting that you can get into. You feel like an alchemist making, you know, something out of nothing. Mix a little of this and mix a little of that. Next thing you know, you've got, a concoction that will cure this or that or the other thing. And, you know, like we use Vicks VapoRub to help open up your nostrils and clear out your sinuses, this is another great way that you can use that's natural and repeatable and storable. Folks, we're coming up on another commercial break. You're listening to Ready Radio right now on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about allergies.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the new Ready Radio right here on News Talk 1160. And we're talking about allergies and the things that you can do to be better prepared for allergies both today and in the future. And one of the things that we were discussing when we left off at the last segment was essential oils, which I think is really one of the new markets that people are venturing into, because this is good for not only aromatherapy, but it actually has healing properties. There are things that are antibacterial, antifungal. Aaron was mentioning that tea tree oil could treat thrush. There is a variety. There's topicals that you can use for burns and for cuts, and it's really amazing. Unfortunately, it's also really complicated, because there's a whole bunch of different things out there, and you got to know the purity level. You got to know that it's, you know, natural. There are people who are trying to pass things off which aren't really essential oils, and then you got to know how they react together. A little of this and a little of that. Like I said before, it seems a lot like alchemy to me.
Also, how they react to the human body. I mean, who would have thought that a little bit of rosemary could raise somebody's blood pressure? But it will.
Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of different things that you have to be careful with when dealing with this, because people react to them differently. And then again, you can go back to even causing an allergic reaction. And here you have a concentrated oil that could cause a really strong allergic reaction in somebody.
Yeah, thank goodness they don't make chicory oil.
Yeah. And we're looking at this as, you know, a possible remedy. Another thing that Aaron had mentioned earlier was using local honey. And I want to revisit that for just a second, because I'm a bit of a connoisseur when it comes to honey. I love a good honey. I mean, there are some people out there who love fine wine. You know, I don't drink. So my repast is much more into the apiary to sample some really fine honeys that are local, or even, you know, some exotic honeys.
I always thought you resembled Winnie the Pooh.
Gee, thanks for noticing me. But yeah, there, you know, one of my favorites is actually Tupelo honey, which of course gets an awful lot of songs written about it. But the thing about Tupelo honey is it's made from pine trees pollen, and the bees that collect from pine tree swamps. And Tupelo honey has two unique properties. First is it's very, very mild and sweet. It's got a very light flavor because it's coming from pine tree pollen, and it's got a really unique flavor, which a lot of people enjoy. But on top of that, it's the only honey that won't crystallize.
It won't crystallize.
Right. You know, when honey never gets old, all that happens is it starts to crystallize, and then you have to boil it down to turn it back into the liquid honey form.
Which all you do is set the jar down in boiling water, and it does its...
Exactly. But Tupelo honey won't ever crystallize. It always stays a liquid. It's one of the properties of it, and it's really, really neat. So, you know, for long-term storage, Tupelo honey, you will never have to boil water to get it to be back into a liquid. It always stays a liquid form.
Huh.
It's the only honey, to my knowledge, that has that property to it. Now, honey in and of itself is antibacterial because it's a supersaccharin solution. It's got so much sugar in it that it kills bacteria.
Now, you know why you use it for allergies, though, right?
Well, because it's made out of pollen.
It's made of pollen, and typically the same pollen that's causing your reaction is what's used to make that honey. So you use that honey every day, and you build up immunities to that pollen.
You have a pollen, a super saturated pollen, basically, which is what the honey is. I mean, it's the nectar from the individual leaves, but it's got the pollen mixed in. And the trick is, if you want your honey to really be something that is usable, it needs to be uncooked. Because when you cook it, you're killing the enzymes. It needs to be raw, and it needs to have all of the little bits still in it. If you open up a raw, unfiltered honey pack, the top is going to have all this little grainy stuff. And you know what that grainy stuff is?
Pollen.
Pollen, exactly. And that's what's going to help you build up an immunity to the pollen in your area. So you go down to, you know, your local Kroger or Walmart, and you buy, you know, the little bears that's a filter, triple filtered and pasteurized and cooked and cleaned.
That is not local honey.
And that's not even, actually, probably it's not even really honey to begin with. There was a scandal, I think, about 2 or 3 years ago where they were proving that the honey in some of the bears were not actually honey at all.
What was it?
It was a corn syrup solution.
Gross.
Yeah, nasty. So, you know, you've got to... This is one of the times, you know, in prepping, we talk a lot about, you know, you've got to, you know, have your food, you got to have your shelter, you got to have a way to defend it. This is important stuff. Everyone needs to go live in a bunker. What really is prepping, what's really getting ready for an emergency, it doesn't have anything to do with all of that. What it has to do with is networking, building relationships, having people you can count on in an emergency and throughout your daily life. That's being prepared. And this is a time when, talking about allergies, we need to go and make friends with our local apiary. Right here in North Georgia, there are hundreds of different places that make locally produced honey. And they sell them to places like apple farms and grocery stores and co-ops and farmers markets, but they're individually growing their honey. Cut out the middleman. Go right to where they're making the honey and say, you know, hey, I'd like to be able to buy, you know, a pound of honey about once a month. Could I swing by and pay cash for it? And lo and behold, you know, people love being paid cash for things.
They also love to sell you their beeswax.
Yes. And what
do
you use?
Gives you your candles.
There you go. You got candles. And not only that, but it's gum, too.
You can use it as soap. You can make soap with it.
You can make soap with it. I just like to chew on it. And it cleans your teeth when you chew on it.
You can have mine.
Okay.
I'm not chewing on any beeswax.
Oh, just a little tiny piece of honeycomb. That's the wax with the honey still in it. You just take it right out of the jar and start chewing on it. It's the best chewing gum you'll ever have. It cleans your teeth. It's not, you don't swallow it, obviously, but you suck out all the sweet goodness of the honey, and you're getting the pollen because it's fresh right from the hive where there's extra pollen on it. Fantastic. I mean, it's one of the most delicious treats I've ever had in my life.
Yum.
But maybe I'm just different. Folks, you know, that's something that you can try. If you're friends with your local apiary, you know, your bee farmer, you can go talk to him. You can get wax, you can get honeycomb, you can get fresh honey made locally that's got these enzymes in it that's not been filtered all of the goodness out of it, that hasn't been cooked to death, and have a really good product that's going to help allergies. It's going to help you. It's long-term storage. How long does honey last?
Forever if you know how to store it.
That's right. So when we're talking about long-term preparations, here you have not only something that's good for you, but it's a good sugar product. You can use it in baking. You can use it in cooking. You can use it just straight as itself on toast or as a snack. I mean, this is nature's miracle food, honey, really is. And here's a perfect opportunity to be able to increase your knowledge base, expand your sphere of influence, have more people who you can trust and who have a working relationship with you. Get to know your local farmer. Get to know the person who's raising your beef or your chickens. Get to know the person you're buying your eggs from. If you do that, you're going to be getting natural, home-raised goodness rather than having, you know, commercially produced, who knows where it came from food that next month may be recalled for salmonella. I mean, that's something that comes up all the time. We have salmonella or E. coli outbreaks in the food that we're getting from these collectives.
The peaches, where were they? They were recalled recently from Trader Joe's.
They were being sold at Trader Joe's.
What was wrong with them though? They didn't have E. coli. They had
I don't remember, but I know that it was a bacterial contamination that caused a massive recall.
It was Listeria.
Listeria.
Ugh.
Yeah. And here we have, you know, one of the better retailers in the area. I shop at Trader Joe's all the time. I love them. They get, you know, they have unique products at a very fair price, and they're a fantastic place. But when you're buying from a giant collective, when you're buying from ConAgra, who's taking the time to make sure that everything is done right? And their solution isn't to make sure that there are cleaner procedures in their harvesting. It's just to spray chemicals to kill bacteria or irradiate the eggs or to have, you know, everything cooked ultra-pasteurized so that it's all, you know, no matter what contaminant is still in there, at least it's dead, so you don't have to worry about it. And that's not really the way I want to live my life. I don't want to be eating dead contamination. I want clean food. I want natural, whole food that comes from a farmer's garden, someone that I can point to and say, you know, this man grew my food. This is what I'm giving my kids. I don't want to eat stuff that came from some giant meat factory in the Midwest where the animals were packed in so tight that they can't even move.
They're not allowed to move.
Not allowed to move. Yeah, that would be, if you got a goat, that would be really bad.
Bad.
There you go. All right, folks. So, you know, here's a way that you can be better prepared. Here's a way that you can be more involved in your family's lifestyle. Here's a way that you can not only, you know, prepare for the future, but prepare for a better life right now. If you have better food, it's going to take care of things like these allergies. You can take and use local honey. You can use essential oils. You can really get involved in your own health care to a degree that most people don't even notice. They'd rather pop a Zyrtec than try, you know, some of these herbal remedies, which may work even better and long-term at cheaper and doesn't have the side effects. And that's something else that we haven't even touched on yet, is the side effects that come from pharmaceuticals. Ooh. Compared to herbals.
I know the side effects of what I am taking today have made me very, very groggy. I feel like I'm living on cloud nine.
Yeah.
I'm not even on it. I'm kind of like halfway through it and falling.
I've, you know, been through an airplane on a cloud, and the whole world just kind of disappears for a second, and then you can kind of make out something, and then you pop out of it.
That's how I feel.
And it's clear.
Exactly,
yeah,
how,
well,
I feel.
That's what pharmaceuticals do for all of us. I mean, it doesn't really matter what your ailment is. I mean, I was hospitalized once, and they put me on something that made me feel like that. I couldn't take it. I really couldn't take it. It drove me nuts. I just couldn't stand the idea of not being in control of my faculties, not being able to speak to people on a cognizant level. I wanted to be able to communicate and be able to be involved, and this stuff just knocked me for a loop. And it really drove a point home to me that I don't want to be medicated my whole life. I want to be involved. I want to be vibrant and, you know, homeopathic herbal remedies allow you to still be, you know, who you are, and you don't have to sacrifice in order to just be able to breathe. And that, I mean, that's where we are. And we're coming up on a commercial break, folks, so we're going to be back in just a minute. When we come back in our next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about anaphylactic shock, more severe forms of allergic reactions, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio, and this week we've been talking about allergies. And we just came off a bit of a rant on my part, talking about how to get back to basics and be a little more agricultural and, dare I say, Jeffersonian, and knowing who produces your food and knowing who produces your honey, as honey and essential oils are great ways to have herbal remedies for common allergies. We're talking here about things like, you know, the red eyes and stuffy nose and the general malaise that crosses over people during pollen season and during ragweed season. And the other times when the trees are promulgating their own essence and it makes us feel miserable. But there is a much more serious form of an allergic reaction, and I think that we're going to take our last segment to talk a little bit about that, and of course bring in our sponsor's product of the week and talk a little bit about the good people at True Prep, of course. But as we look at, you know, what we've been talking about up to this point, these are annoyances. They are things that make it hard for us to function and get through our day and to, you know, be involved in our daily lives. And during, you know, an average day, they're an annoyance. During an emergency, it could be mission critical because, you know, if you're groggy or if you're, you know, unable to respond or function normally during a state of emergency, you might have something catastrophic happen. And so this can be a very important thing. But the more severe form of an allergic reaction is called anaphylaxis. And this is something that some of us, you know, live with on a daily basis because we know that we're incredibly allergic to certain things.
I have an allergy to chicory, and I discovered this allergy after a trip to the beach. I came home after not having coffee for 4 days because we go camping at the beach. And when I got home, I made myself a huge pot of coffee with a new brand of coffee I had just purchased that had chicory in it. I didn't think anything.
Was that Chock Full of Nuts?
It was not. It was actually Louisiana.
Louisiana makes coffee?
Louisiana does make coffee.
I have never heard of that.
Scary thought, huh?
Yeah, it is.
So I brewed up this pot of coffee.
No wonder their tea tastes a little bit like coffee then.
It's coffee.
Coffee. There you go. Yeah.
So anyways, I brewed it up and drank a couple cups of this coffee. The next thing I knew, my throat was swelling shut. I was in an anaphylactic reaction. I had to go to the emergency room.
And folks, for those of you who don't know, anaphylaxis is a severe, potentially life-threatening allergic reaction. I mean, it occurs within seconds or minutes of exposure to something that the victim is allergic to, such as peanuts or venom from a bee sting. What happens is a flood of chemicals is released by the immune system during anaphylaxis, and it can actually cause your body to go into shock. And this is where your blood pressure drops suddenly, your airways narrow, blocking normal breathing. Signs and symptoms of anaphylaxis include a rapid, weak pulse, a skin rash, and nausea and vomiting. Common triggers for anaphylaxis are certain foods, like your chicory reaction, some medications, and even insect venoms and latex. When I was going to school, there was someone who had a latex allergy, and we couldn't have anything that was latex in the classroom because it could cause an anaphylactic reaction. It requires immediate medical treatment. And then when we say immediate, we mean immediate, because within minutes a person can die from this. If you can't breathe, you're going to, I mean, you know, the rule of threes. You got 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. And we're talking about air here. And if you can't breathe, you've got 3 minutes and you're toast. And no. So you've got to be able to react.
What do? You take Benadryl at the first sign of the reaction. That's a good start.
But it's going to take Benadryl minutes to dissolve.
Up to 30 minutes, right. So what you do in the meantime is epinephrine, and that's where the EpiPen comes in.
Now, it's very easy to get a prescription. If you've had any kind of reaction like this before, you go to your doctor and say, hey, I've had an allergic reaction to bee stings or to peanut butter or to something, and I'm afraid of having another reaction and not having the time necessary to get to emergency medical treatment. I need an EpiPen. And the doctor will write you a prescription. They sell them in packs of two, and they cost a mere, what, $500, $600 per pen?
They're very expensive.
Yeah. But, you know, the flip side of that is, so you're going to drop $1,000 on a couple of EpiPens.
What's your life worth?
What's your life worth? Yeah.
The sad part is they have to be replaced every 2 years.
It's like $1,000 every 2 years. And if you don't use them, you know, it's kind of like having insurance, folks.
Yeah, it's very much. That's exactly what it is. It's an insurance policy for somebody who has a life-threatening illness. And it's something that you can do and be better prepared. And I think that everybody who has ever had an anaphylactic reaction to something must have an EpiPen with them.
See, I think those medical alert bracelets are very important. Because they allow people around you who do not know you, you know, potentially you've passed out from allergic reaction on the bus. It allows the other passengers of the bus to look at your wrist and go, okay, well, oh, she's allergic to this, this, and this. Now we know what could potentially be the problem.
Yeah, because the last thing you want to be is, you know, you're in some situation where you're unconscious and they start to pump you full of something that you have an allergic reaction to.
Right.
And they end up killing you. I mean, more people die from doctors than from firearms wounds every year in the U.S. because the doctors either make a mistake unknowing or don't have the information they need when they're prescribing certain medications, and people die from it. And it happens all the time, either mistakes or simply not having the knowledge necessary in that situation about that particular patient. I wanted to take a minute to talk a little bit about different types of symptoms of anaphylaxis. And I think that this would be something that we're going to do in our new fifth segment. Now, of course, on our broadcast day, we have four segments that all of you attentively listen to every week, and we're in the middle of our fourth segment right now. But on our website or our podcast, everyone listening via podcast starting this week is going to get an extra 15-minute segment to listen to that's going to have some more in-depth coverage of one of our topics. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about anaphylaxis in our fifth segment. Please do tune in to us either on iTunes or go to www.readyradio.net. Listen to us streaming there. You can also listen to us on all of the broadcast stations, the broadcast station you're listening to right now, or our flagship station on News Talk 1160, and you can listen to us live streaming from there every Saturday morning at 8 in the morning until 9. And so we appreciate that. As we're coming up on the end of our show right now, our broadcast show, I want to talk about the True Prep product of the week. And I think that this week's product is something that is, it's not really right on with allergies, but talking about allergic reactions to bee stings and to insect bites, they have a product called Natropel, which is a natural insect repellent, which works fantastically well. It's much more than you would get from, say, Skin So Soft or Off. And the problem with Off or Deep Woods Off is that it's a DEET product, whereas the Natropel is not a DEET product. It works very well at repelling all kinds of biting insects, including mosquitoes and, I believe, ticks and other, you know, insects that are looking for us little human hosts running around in the woods. So this is something that comes either in a spray-on bottle or with wipes, and the wipes are genius. The beauty of the wipes is that when you have small children, I don't know if you had this experience as a child, Aaron, but I sure did, when your mom would take and clap a hand right over your face and then start to spray you down with offs because you wanted to get it around your face but not on your nose or your mouth or your eyes. And so there you get the big face palm from the parent trying to keep the off of your face. My mom sure did that to me. And here we have a wipe that you can just wipe around the edge of the face, not get it anywhere near the nostrils, not get it anywhere near the mouth, but still provide the protection on the back of the neck and around the ears and on the top of the forehead that'll keep the children from getting bit up by mosquitoes while they're out and about.
I'm so glad my dad sprayed it on our hands and let us rub it on our faces.
Well, that's kind of the idea behind these wipes, and they're a fantastic product, and it's very affordable. I think that all of their products are under $10 at True Prep. They have multiple applications. It's very user-friendly, and it doesn't contain DEET, so it's not going to stunt your kids' growth or make them grow a purple head out of the side of their shoulder. So we're all a lot better off with a natural product, something that'll keep you safe from insect bugs, especially with, you know, the threat of West Nile virus running around and all of the other infectious diseases that
Ebola.
Are spread. Yeah, Ebola. There we go. Right here in Atlanta. You got Ebola coming out the wazoo, and you got mosquitoes passing it around. So here we are. The True Prep product of the week is their insect repellents, available at both of their stores or online at truprep.com. Folks, this has been a really exciting topic. I know that Erin is over there snarfing and dying today, but she was a real trooper on her first official day as co-host to come in, even in the midst of the allergy-induced haze, and talk about a topic that's at least on the forefront of her mind, as well as many people in all across America and the world who are today suffering from pollen and ragweed and all of the other allergens that come out in the fall. But I wouldn't take this moment just before we end our show to encourage you, in spite of the allergies, don't become hermits. Get out there and enjoy fall. We're here. It's the first week of September. It is a beautiful, beautiful time to get out and enjoy picking apples with your children, hay rides. And we're coming up on October. We're going to have fall festivals. We're going to have Thanksgiving. We're going to have Halloween. We're going to have all of these wonderful things that remind us why the harvest is important, why family is important, why everything that we do together, all of this prepping, all of what we are doing here. The reason that we have radio, Ready Radio, is not just to live in fear or say, oh my goodness, the world is ending, what do you do? It's about being able to live more fully, to be able to enjoy life and get out there and do what we want to do, to be a part of our families, to be a part of the earth, to have a more Jeffersonian outlook, to be self-sufficient, to not fear, but to be able to do, to be able to get out there and do something wonderful and amazing. Tune in on our podcast to catch our last segment where we're going to talk a little bit more about anaphylaxis and the way to keep yourself from dying, which is always a plus. So tune in on our podcast, catch our last segment. Folks, this has been a great week. We thank you for listening. You've been listening to Ready Radio, either online or on our flagship station, News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to our first ever non-broadcast segment here on Ready Radio. This bonus segment carries off of the show that you've just been listening to, probably on our flagship station or on iTunes or somewhere else. And as you listen to the show, you know, sometimes we just run out of time to be able to talk about everything we want to. And so the idea came up, well, why don't we have a bonus segment that covers the last extra, you know, 15 minutes where we can talk about things more in depth, where we're off the air, so we can do it in a little bit more laid-back manner. And this week, we really ran out of time talking about anaphylaxis, which is a really important topic to run out of time on.
Everybody that has anaphylaxis feels like they're running out of time.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, you get to the point where you can't breathe and you don't know what's happening, and you feel like the sand is running out of the clock. And that was one of the things that I wanted to talk about just a little bit, was the symptoms of anaphylaxis and ways that, you know, we've got the EpiPen, but what's going to happen when you have an anaphylactic reaction, when they take you to the hospital, what's going to happen? And I think that this is a really important segment to have out there, so I wanted to make this our first bonus segment. So when we're talking about anaphylaxis, I know that during the show, I talked a little bit about, you know, the symptoms of, you know, having a rash or the inability to breathe, but there's a lot more that goes along with this. Because anaphylaxis can occur even a half hour after exposure. So sometimes it's hard to pin down the first time it happens what exactly caused your reaction. I mean, if you had a bee sting and you're like, oh, you know, 20 minutes later, I wasn't able to breathe, you could probably point to the bee sting. But what if you went to a buffet? You know, what if you're going down, you're grazing at the buffet, and you ate 20 different things at this buffet? Yeah, you ate everything. And now, 20 minutes after you're walking out, you're like, can't breathe. Well, what was it? You have no idea.
It was the food.
It was the food, yeah.
Well, it was the food.
For sure. It was the food. Well, maybe not. Maybe it was somebody's perfume, too.
It could have been. Or something in the air.
Mm-hmm. And you don't know. And so how do you narrow it down? Now you had this life-threatening reaction.
How do you narrow it down? You have to go to an allergist and get all those tests where they stick all these little needles in you and see which ones swell up.
Yep.
Sounds like fun to me. Well, great afternoon right there.
Yeah. Well, if we ever have to do that, maybe we record it for a video segment on our YouTube channel.
We're going
to
do it on you.
No, I'm not allergic to anything. I'm fine.
Right.
Yeah. So what are some of the signs and symptoms of anaphylaxis so you can recognize it in others? You know, part of what we talk about is how, you know, we get to an emergency or disaster and there's not going to be immediate help. You need to be able to recognize these symptoms in somebody else. And so I just want to do a brief recap that anaphylactic symptoms include skin reactions, including hives, along with itching or in a flushed or pale skin, almost always present with anaphylaxis. Mm-hmm. The feeling of warmth, the sensation of a lump in your throat, constriction of the airways, a swollen tongue or throat, which can cause wheezing and trouble. You know, this sounds a lot like falling in love.
No, I don't.
Weak or rapid pulse. Nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea.
That sounds like falling in love.
And dizziness or fainting. So, I mean, this is a massive systemic trauma.
They forgot to list the swollen lips. You know, every time I have a reaction to chicory, I just love the Angelina Jolie lips that come with it. I mean, they just look really beautiful.
Well, they mentioned constriction of the tongue.
They mentioned the swelling of the throat and tongue, but the lips swell too occasionally, depending on what the anaphylaxis is. Have you ever seen anybody with a peanut allergy?
Mm.
Ooh, the lips swell up bad.
And that, I really can't think of a worse allergy. I mean, really. And that's, you know, you're not supposed to give young children under the age of 2, I think it is, real honey. You're supposed to...
Under one. It's under one.
Honey. You're supposed to limit their exposure to peanuts when they're first developing so that they don't get these allergic reactions. And there's a lot of theories out there that you get an allergic reaction because of an exposure at a young age that your body's not really able to handle. So that, I mean, that's one thing that you can do to try to prevent getting allergies is to, but
I think most of that's just theory, though, because, you know, you see a lot of kids now with peanut allergies and all these parents being really careful not to give their kids peanuts before X amount of years, however old you're supposed to be. But, you know, think about our parents' age. I'm in my 30s. You're in your 30s. And our parents are in their 50s, 60s. Mm-hmm. And you didn't see a lot of peanut allergies there. In fact, you don't even see a lot of peanut allergies in our generation. It's the next generation. Everybody that's being so careful about it, they're the ones that are developing the peanut allergies.
So what do you think that the cause of all of these allergies popping up in society? Is it more knowledge? I mean, were people dropping over from peanut allergic reactions back in the 20s and no one noticed?
I think it's the chemicals they're putting in the peanuts when they're being grown, when they're being processed. I don't think it's the actual peanuts.
Well, you know, some of the most common things that we have allergic reactions to are medicines. And so that might, I mean, maybe there's a correlation there. You know, highly processed, engineered, designed chemicals for the body. You know, medicines cause allergic reactions. You know, some of these foods that are being processed with different chemicals could cause an allergic reaction. I mean, the most common anaphylactic triggers are medications, foods like pecans, almonds, cashews, wheat, fish or shellfish, and then insect stings. The least common causes for anaphylactic shock are exercise, latex, and medication used in anesthesia. This is a list that I got from the Mayo Clinic, which is, you know, the leading authority on medical treatment in the U.S. I remember, I used to live in Minnesota, and I remember when Mikhail Gorbachev came to the Mayo Clinic to be treated. So just, you know, to give it a little bit of credence there. But it's really, there's some of the other, you know, things that cause it are some of the more common medicines like ibuprofen, naproxen, even intravenous contrast solution for x-rays can cause anaphylactic shock.
I can't take the ibuprofen. I have allergies to it along with cortisone and amoxicillin.
I mean, there's
penicillin,
and all of these things can cause a reaction in you. They're common. And so when we're talking about bug out bags, when we're talking about ways to help people, this is something else you got to really consider. You know, you find someone who's you know, not able to communicate with you, or who's having a reaction, or who's, you know, knocked unconscious, and you want to help them. Well, you look down and, you know, they've got a rash all over their body. So you start to break out your cortisone cream. Well, you might deliver something that puts them into anaphylactic shock. And that's something that, you know, as a first responder or someone in an emergency situation needs to think about. And you need to, if you know that you have, you know, emergent, like you were saying earlier in the show about having a bracelet, if you know you have these reactions or your children have these reactions, it's extremely important to be able to communicate this, even if you're unconscious. And these bracelets are a great way to do that. One of my friends keeps one in tied into his shoe. So even, you know, if he were to have his bracelet get ripped off or knocked off, he'd have a secondary backup saying, hey, I have allergies to certain medications and don't deliver these medications to me. And I think that this is a great idea.
I think it's very necessary. They also make a lot of different ways of doing it. Necklaces, keychains, things that you carry with you all the time, even a little card that goes in your wallet or your purse.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you find somebody passed out in the hallway, are you really going to check their wallet or their purse?
Yeah, and it's a little bit more visible when it's a necklace or a bracelet or a large placard in the straps of your shoe.
I mean the bracelet put on the wrist and somebody goes to check the pulse. And there's the bracelet there. And the same thing with the necklace, you know, they come in to check the pulse in the neck and they find that necklace, and that's a good indicator that there's allergies. So,
or something.
Yeah.
And
diabetes, high blood pressure, whatever the case may be.
This is someone who needs special attention.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, we imagine ourselves being heroes, being able to swoop in and save someone's life or give them, you know, life-saving treatments. But in reality, we might be making the situation a lot worse if we're not very careful.
That's the reason you've got to be very careful in dealing with people. And that's one of the reasons I say, you know, always do the Benadryl first. You very rarely hear of anybody having an allergic reaction to Benadryl.
That would be really rough, wouldn't it?
I mean, allergic reaction to water, you know?
Your allergic reaction is to the anti-allergic reaction medicine. You're
right,
really
it'd be awful,
tough
wouldn't
straight.
It? So, I mean, I would always start with Benadryl in a case where somebody may not be so responsive.
And it's a good blanket treatment for someone who may be having an allergic reaction. You know, we're not doing a whole segment on first aid, but when you get into first aid, you know, recognizing airways and what, well, you're more versed in this than I am. What is the steps that you would take to stabilize somebody?
Well, you want to assess the situation and see if you can figure out what's going on with them. You don't want to try to treat a situation that you don't know anything about. And then you move on and try to figure out exactly what's going on. You don't ever want to try to move somebody. You don't know if they've had a fall or whatever, but once you've decided that you figured out what's going on, you attempt to correct the situation. You want to prevent them from going into shock. You want to try to treat them as best you can. And you always want to call for medical help if you can. I mean, in the event of the end of the world, you're probably not going to be able to dial 911. But in today's society right here, the best thing for you to do is dial 911.
Absolutely. And get someone who knows what they're doing into the situation and who can guide you through and give you the right steps to take. And we all need to be more aware of the basic steps. We need to take some first aid courses. We need to learn as much as
That's
we
right.
can. And not just for today, but for a possible future where that 911 call just is a busy signal. And that does happen.
And or the day you're sitting in the restaurant and somebody beside you is choking and nobody knows what to do, you may be the person that saves their life.
Exactly. I mean, it can really be one of those situations where you say nobody knows what to do, but here you are with having some training, having some, you know, thought behind it, and you can really make a difference. Make a difference for someone who's choking, make a difference for and education really is the key. This is something that I've harped on throughout the course of this entire project that is Ready Radio, to be more informed, more educated, more able to be self-sufficient and help others. Because the next step after self-sufficiency, much like this segment is the next step after our show, is to be able to do for others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the reason that we all are here on this planet, is to not just be autonomous little drones that go off and do our own thing, but to help each other and to do more and to be more with each other and to fill in each other's gaps. Some people are better at some things, some are others, and we tap into each other's gifts. And this is something that I think is really important. Folks, we're coming to the end of this bonus segment. Thank you for tuning in either through our website or on iTunes. Tune in, and if you have a broadcaster that you listen to weekly that doesn't cover Ready Radio, let us know. Send us an email to info@readyradio.net or to doug@readyradio.net or Aaron, E-R-I-N, @readyradio.net if you want to talk to either of us personally. And we will work on talking to your broadcast station to get us on the air there. You've been listening to Ready Radio on this podcast edition. I hope everybody has a great week and see you next week.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Aaron get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Saturday mornings at 8, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.